This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Blueberry Convo by Design Studio in Columbus, Ohio. The lead stories are Amazon is going to help you pay your bills. Apple announced the AirPod Pro at $249, a very surprise arrival. Alphabet is thinking of buying Fitbit. And Facebook employees are very unhappy about the policy that all politicians are going to be allowed to lie on the platform. I want to welcome you to episode 1401 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, October 28th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We are live once again. We're live on Facebook today only because I'm still here in the studio. But I want to welcome all of you new listeners to the show. I want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, get subscribed to the podcast. It's real easy right on the sidebar, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify. We've got all the places where you consume media today where you can subscribe to the show. When you're on the website as well, get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter is sent out immediately following the publishing of the podcast and contains everything that I'm going to talk about in the show today. So make sure that you do that. You can listen to the show on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword to launch that device and the words, the magic words, play the podcast Geek News Central. We've got a new chat option for you. We're going to see if this is going to work. We now have a Discord channel. So that link will be in the show notes today. We hope that you'll join us on Discord because a lot of you don't want to join Slack. A lot of you don't want to join our geeknews.chat Mastodon server. So we'll see if Discord resonates with any of you. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you don't want to chat with the community, but we're giving you every opportunity you can. You can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook. Of course, our partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor by Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my personal team, the New Media Show, and of course, Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. And of course, this is the longest running continuing podcast, sponsor of a podcast, and that's our friends at GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show. I definitely appreciate their ongoing support. And of course, you can find all my deals, all my GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a $399.com, whether it be a $1 a month economy hosting for the first year, a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, which both of those offers include a free domain name. And again, this offer is exclusive to Geek News Central and to my Geek News Central audience. Of course, there's a 30% discount code. That's the one that doesn't get used as much, but it's where the biggest savings lie, depending on the service and products and services you're picking up at GoDaddy. And of course, for business owners, we have the GoDaddy website builder that allows you to get a 30-day free trial of that, allows you to see how you can rebuild your business site, add e-commerce, you name it. So all these deals that we have, again, are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And you want to thank GoDaddy for their longtime sponsorship of the show. Make sure you get over there. Share the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy link with your friends, family members, people that you know. Pick up a new domain name. Pick up a new hosting account. That's what keeps us on the air, what keeps the lights on, and partially keeps me fed. So we definitely appreciate those of you that are supporting GoDaddy as a sponsor. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please say hello in the chat room. We want you to check in. And I'm going to attempt here to share this with a web page. Let's see if I can do this. share. No, I don't share my timeline. I want to share on a page I manage. And I want to share in Geek News Central. There we go. I've shared it. So if you're watching the stream, please feel free to share the show tonight. Definitely appreciate it. But say hello in chat. Make sure that I know you're here. And we're live. So for now, until the show's over, and then everyone that gets the show normally will listen like the way they would. All right. So anyway, let's talk about what's happened here since last Monday, since episode 1400. Had a very full week here in the Columbus office. It was, I had looking at my calendar and I'm exhausted just reviewing it. Tomorrow's kind of the same way on my schedule. Then Wednesday is not as bad. Andrew, I'm here in the Blueberry Studios in Columbus. And yes, it's a Shure SMB7. That's what I'm using in the new studio at Geek News Central as well. Matter of fact, I borrowed one of these mics from the company and I'm using it in the home studio. But anyway, very, very busy week. And then on Thursday afternoon, I flew out for San Antonio. And boy, I'm going to tell you, if you didn't read my Facebook post and you missed it, the approach into San Antonio, you guys got to understand, I flew for 21 years with the Navy, and I had over 10,000 flight hours, literally 1,000 or more landings and takeoffs, obviously. And I can count on my hand the number of flights where I was duly concerned for my life. And this approach into San Antonio, while I wasn't fearful of my life, I will say that I tightened the seatbelt as tight as I possibly could. And I held onto the chair in front of me with a death grip because we were getting slammed, going through a thunderstorm, heavy rains coming into San Antonio. And finally, I think this pilot decided, okay, this is enough, and he applied power, we climbed, and we went around. But for 3 to 4 minutes of flying into this storm and approach, it had my attention in a big, big way. So, you know, we went off to the south, and we circled, and we circled, and we circled, and the pilot said, hey, I've got 15 minutes before we have to make a decision. If it isn't going to clear out, we're going to have to go to Houston. So, you know, because gas, I'm sure. And so at about the 10-minute mark, I was seeing him turn, and I turned on the flight map on the screen, and sure enough, we were, at that point, fast approaching San Antonio Airport again, and the storm had moved, but we had to fly through it to get into the airport. And for another 2 or 3 minutes, you know, we're shook and bounced around, and I was like, wow. And finally we broke through, clear air, it was still raining, but the pilot was able to have one of these types of landings, and we came in, and he was fast. He was really fast. So landed, I'm sure he was, you know, there's this, when there's a certain weight, there's this, you know, the speed that you're supposed to touch down at. It's this, you know, and I'm not a pilot, but I know that they know how much they weigh. They know where they need to be. And he was way above that because the braking action he used to slow down was extensive. And the whole airplane, of course, clapped. And for the first time in probably 10 years, when I was getting close to the cockpit, to the flight station, I stopped and I basically stuck my head as far as I could in and put my thumbs up. I said, good job, guys. You earned your keep tonight. And that was, I'll put that at least in the top five. Let's go top 10. Top 10 in the last 30 years, and definitely the most incredible landing, rough landing I've ever had in a commercial aircraft ever. He earned his keep, and that storm was nasty. But though, you know, it was It was a fun landing. But anyway, got into San Antonio, got my car. San Antonio was flooded. People were driving like 30 miles an hour on the highway. And I'm just like, wow, this is crazy. Got to the hotel, got checked. It's just pouring. And ordered pizza, got pizza in. And then the next morning, straight into the conference center. Two full days at Texas Podcast Conference, spoke twice. It was a great time with the business owners there. And then Sunday morning, bright and early, I had to leave the hotel at 5 a.m. After having spent networking time and getting very little sleep. Got on an airplane, flew to Chicago, bounced over back to Columbus, and then I was back here in the office yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock to do new media show. And then I face planted last night and got 9 hours of good sleep. So yes, it's been busy, but I'm glad to be with you. And I'll be back in Michigan for the Thursday show. And then the schedule as it is right now is November 12th and 15th. I'll be in Los Angeles for an event. I'll be back in Honolulu on November 24th through 29th with family. And so anyway, that's kind of what we're at. Also, don't forget about some money-saving offers at geeknewscentral.com/offers. But here we go. Let's get into the content. I got a good stack of stuff for you tonight. For those of you checking in on Facebook, Jeffrey, hello. Christopher Jordan, hello. And, I'm glad your two-year-old loves watching. Thanks. And he says, may I recommend a Dynamite Icicle inline preamp for the SM7B. I think we got enough amplifier. We got a nice, beautiful Mackie mixer down here. So maybe I'll try that. I think I've got one of those someplace. I'll definitely do that. Jeffrey, hello from Korea. So anyway, thanks for everyone being on and watching. And let's go ahead and get into the stack. I got a good lineup of stuff today. So here's the deal. Would you let Amazon pay your bills with Alexa? Would you say, hello? Or, you know, do the call sign to launch that device. Would you say Alexa, pay my American Express bill? Or would you say, pay my electricity bill? Or pay my mortgage? Would you allow that device to do that? I'm going to be very frank. And I'm just going to say it, and as about as explicit as we can go on this show, not a cold day in beep would I allow Amazon to pay my bills with Alexa. They're going to be able to check the status of your bill payments, and you can opt into receiving alerts when it looks like the payment may be late or their payment account has an issue. No. I'm not going to allow this. That's what I have a bank for, a BANK, an FDIC-insured bank that has my best interests at heart. The fourth stemming features come from a partnership from customer engagement payment platform Paytmus, Paymentus, instant payment network, which currently spans more than 1,500 billers, 700 utilities. Amazon Pay, Amazon Online Services that streams online third-party checkouts for goods and service. No, I am not going to allow Alexa or Google or anyone else with one of these devices that I'm listening to music to. I'm not going to let Azure, I'm not going to let Cortana or any of these devices pay my bills. Not in this lifetime. So how about you, Rick, Jeffrey, Christopher, Andrew? Would you allow Alexa to pay your bills? That is the question. And the rest of you, geeknews@gmail.com, send me an email. Let me know if you would trust your smart home device to smartly pay your bills. Moving on here, there's a new rumor out. Well, not a rumor. There had been a rumor that Apple was coming out with AirPods. And I have to laugh because I just bought the AirPod 3 back in May, I guess. So Apple announced a $249, yes, $249 AirPods Pro Pack noise cancellation and hands-free Really, Siri, do we need hands-free Siri? $249. So they didn't wait to their next event to reveal the new version. Again, officially called the AirPods Pro. Offers active noise cancellation. Well, there's lots of noise cancellation headphones, earbuds, etc. Well, not necessarily a lot of earbuds. But what they've done here is they've changed the design. And it's got a little foamy on it that when it goes into the ear, it'll allow your ear canal to be sealed so that the noise cancellation will work. Apple says that this AirPods Pro will offer superior sound quality with audio features called Adaptive EQ. According to the company, the tool automatically tunes low and mid-range frequencies to suit each person's ears. There's also an amplifier on board for pure, incredible, clear sound and extended battery life. Apple says the drivers inside the AirPods Pro can produce bass down to 20 hertz to round out the immersive audio quality to help you fit, help you find the right fit. They have an ear tip fit test that examines the seal for each ear to determine what size tip will be best for you. And the biggest addition is the AirPods Pro employs two microphones on each earbuds and software that continuously adapts the level of the ANC to your ears. One microphone keeps tabs on ambient noise while the other faces inward to pick up any additional sound that may remain. Apple says the setup continues to analyze the sound 200 times per second. If that seems familiar, that description is pretty close to the Beats Pure ANC that's available on its noise-canceling headphones. So here's what Apple has found out. People spend a lot of money for noise-cancellation headphones. I have a set of Bose noise cancellation headphones that I use almost exclusively when I'm flying. Don't use them much more than that. They just work. They last for hours. I can go from here to Honolulu, which is a 10-hour burner, and then a 10-hour burner home on a single charge. So will my AirBuds last me, this new AirPods Pro, or what are they calling them? The AirPods Pro, will they last me 10 hours? No, I don't think so. They say they're going to get about the same battery life as the current ones do, about 5 hours. 4.5 hours of listening and 3.5 of talk time. Apple says you can expect up to 24 hours total in with the charger. But what you got to do is you got to pull one AirPod out, let it charge. Well, so that doesn't give you nonstop noise cancellation. So if you want these, they'll ship on October 30th for $249. If you get them, let me know how they sound. I'm not running out and doing that purchase. Alphabet, parent company of Google, is reportedly interested in buying Fitbit. And this would represent one of the biggest deals yet in the smart watch world. Fitbit is quite serious, it seems, about exploring a sale. I would think so. And Apple's made an offer for an as yet undetermined amount. The insider warned that there are no guarantees the talks would lead to a deal, but the indication of interest is still huge by itself. We'll reach out to Alphabet and Fitbit for comment. And of course, both declined to comment. The folks at Engadget say if Alphabet did snap up Fitbit, it could dramatically change the landscape for smartwatches in spite of challenges. Again, Fitbit is one of the largest smartwatch makers. I think this is a brilliant acquisition by Alphabet. Who are they competing against? Apple. I think this is absolutely a brilliant buy by Alphabet. So we will see if this goes through. They definitely have the cash to do it. So if the offer's right, I could foresee this closing. I really, really could. So Rick says, I would only do it if she wanted to go into work for me every day to pay for it. Oh, are you talking about the AirBuds? And Andrew said, oh, you're talking about Alexa. He said, I would only do it if she'd go into work for me every day to pay for it. All right, it's funny. And Andrew says on Alexa paying bills, sorry about that, I just triggered your device. I feel the same way. Maybe at some point I'll be more comfortable with it. Well, don't think so. I don't think I am. All right, politicians, they all lie. Every last one of them. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. Anyone that doesn't believe politicians lie, come on. Have you ever heard an honest politician? Let's just be frank. Doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat, independent. Doesn't matter. They all lie to some extent or another. But Facebook employees criticize company's policy that let politician lie in ads. In a letter obtained by the New York Times, some employees give the social network policy a big thumb down. We strongly object to this policy. It stands, Facebook's employees said in a letter obtained by the New York Times. It doesn't protect voices, but instead allows politicians to weaponize our platform by targeting people who believe the content posted by politician figures is trustworthy. What world do they live in? Come on. Not a single, what politicians do is they address the narrative to their advantage and leave other stuff out. They always tell their little point of view and spin it their way. Doesn't matter if you're a Republican. Doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. If you believe a politician, please, please, please. I have some property to sell you in the middle of the Amazon forest, and I'm going to make you an incredible deal. The letter posted by the Times on Monday outlined 6 steps a company could take to combat misinformation political ads. That includes a stronger visual design so users know it's a political ad, restricting ad targeting, and capping the amount of money politicians can spend on these ads. They are never, ever, 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 ever in this lifetime going to cap politician spending. Hello, it's not going to happen. 250 employees signed the letter. Well, okay, 250 employees signed the letter. Now, when we go through and talk, well, did Facebook do their earnings call? No. But 250, what is that? 0.1% or something like that? So I'm just laughing because people really think that this is going to change anything. They lie on TV. They lie on radio. They lie on every piece of media there is. It doesn't matter. Yeah, there's truth, and then there's the edge, right? Come on. That's why you stop watching. That's why don't even read it. Don't even listen. You know, fire them all. I keep saying that. Been saying that forever. It'll never happen in this country. Never, 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 never. So again, if you're watching my Facebook, I know you're here. I can see you on live. Make sure you say hello. Apple has released iOS and iPad OS 13.2 with new emoji, Deep Fusion for iPhone 11, Siri privacy options, and more. So another security update is what they've sent out. So again, iOS version 13.2, the second major update, and iPad OS 13. So anyway, this comes 2 weeks after the release. And over a month after the initial release of iOS 13.1. And I've got some bad news a little later in the show for those of you that have an iPhone 5. And we'll talk about how that bad news is really a ploy. There's an article from space.com talking about the YERKES, Y-E-R-K-E-S, I probably destroyed it, observatory, home of the largest refracting telescope. YERKES Observatory in Williams Bay, Wisconsin, houses the largest refracting telescope ever built for astronomical research with a main lens that's 40 inches. The observatory's facility of the University of Chicago is housed in an ornate Romanesque-style building located on a 77-acre park near Lake Genova, Wisconsin, about a two-hour drive north of downtown Chicago. It opened in 1897 and was closed for almost all activity in 2018. And it was gigantic for its time with a main tube that was 60 foot long. A refracting telescope is one of the two main types of astronomical telescopes. A refractor is a familiar spyglass design which operates by gathering light through a large lens at one end of a long tube and focusing light on an earpiece on the other. Or eyepiece, excuse me, not earpiece, duh. And it goes into the history of that telescope and shows some pretty cool pictures. So I'm assuming that this place is open for as a museum. They do use the telescope from time to time, and it can be used for research and education. So anyway, that's a little history for you. And a second notice, satellites are tracking California's devastating Kincade wildfire from space. And of course, there's more fires now. And if you live in California, my heart goes out to you. And some of you cannot watch the show tonight because there's 2 million PG&E customers without electricity. What is up with them having to cut the juice everywhere? And your own power lines causing these fires is pretty insane. So there's like 200,000 people that have been told to evacuate. It's not good. Used to be, you know, what happened, you know, 100 years ago or 150 years ago before there were such things as firefighting teams and all this stuff. When fire started, they just went until they burned out, right? Does anyone track history of fires like this? They go back to, you know, when California was really kind of the gold rush and when the explosion of the population started to happen. Does anyone have a history of what happened for fires back in then? I'm kind of curious. I know that the folks in California have been really against controlled burns, and it's just, you're building houses among the hills around shrubbery and stuff that just cannot be controlled. So the Kincade fires burned 54,298 acres, and I give some perspective to that. That's a lot. That's 220 square miles. And it's only 5% contained. And there's 3,000 firefighters on the scene. And again, the fire began October 23rd. Has destroyed 94 structures. And satellites are watching the fire to aid in containment and evacuation. And again, another 200,000 people just today have been forced to evacuate. One of our team members is in an area that is precarious. He's not exactly in the line of the fire, but he may be in an evacuation zone or in a power outage zone. So thinking about him. So if you're in that area or if you're listening to the show later and you were, again, my heart goes out to you. Next up, people will. Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Mom. Mom is on today. So remember Pokemon cards? Some of you have Pokemon cards. Some of you collect Pokemon cards. I never fully understood a Pokemon. If you asked me to decipher one, I would have no clue. And of course, a lot of Pokemon cards were 100% Japanese with kanji or katakana or hiragana on them. So turns out catching a Pokemon Illustrator card called the Illustrator Holo, if you have one of those in your collection, that is mint. One sold last week for $195,000, making the Pikachu Illustrator the most expensive one in existence, according to Kotaku. The card was never sold in packs like regular ones, but awarded to the winners of the Japanese comic contest in 1998. Only 39 were released, and 10 of those are believed to still exist. Can you imagine if you were one of the 39 and you threw that thing in the trash? It's just like missing out on selling a Bitcoin or buying Bitcoins when they were $4. So anyway, $195,000. You never know when that thing you collected years ago that's sitting in a closet in either a plastic bin or in a box, or you never know when that item is going to be the item that is going to make a payday for you. Over on Android Central, of course, most of us don't have the storage space to store all this stuff. That's the reason why stuff gets thrown out. We all are kind of, to a certain extent, you have stuff, right? You're looking at it and you're like, should I keep this or should I throw it out? All of us go through this when we clean stuff up, right? And you go, it's not worth nothing. You throw it in the trash or you send it to Goodwill or wherever you donate stuff. And hopefully someone else can reuse it. But if a person had a big enough storage warehouse, they wouldn't throw anything out. They would keep every single thing they bought, even if it didn't work. Because you never know, in 30 years, it might be worth $195. Of course, you'd have to have an inventory of all that stuff. I heard Howard Stern saying he pays people to take, he's got a warehouse full of props and costumes and stuff that he pays for all of that because he actually was complaining. He says, why am I paying for storage for certain stuff? But he understands there's going to be value for that. And I guess it's it's like a reserve bank account for him. But he's talking about selling some of it off for charity, which is, the right thing to do. So anyway, we'll see if Howard Stern ever retires, if he sells any of his stuff off. AT&T, just got to love AT&T. AT&T bosses called out Netflix and Disney ahead of the HBO Max launch. So they're going to launch the HBO Max on October 29th. And he has a message for investors. It's like not like those other services. In a high-pitched tone, nasal draw, one of these elites that went to Harvard Business School. He's, and I don't know where he went to school, but anyway, we're not going to be like those other services. And addressing investors, concerns over about HBO Max, one of the largest entertainment undertakings AT&T has ever conducted, making its entry into a heavily saturated streaming space during an earnings call. Stevenson defended AT&T's place in the market, adding that where the company intends to play is not that crowded. He added that emphasizing HBO name brand already distinguishes service from its competitors, putting it in a league of its own. You know, HBO already has two paid services. Why do we need HBO Max? He says, this is not Netflix. This is not Disney. This is HBO Max. We feel very comfortable at these investment levels that we can do something very, very, very significant in the marketplace. This is going to be a meaningful business over the next 4 to 5 years. So we're taking a $50 million subscriber business. What's going to be different about this? Why? Well, I pay for HBO Digital, HBO something, go, whatever. Why do I want HBO Max? How many of these? Okay, so we've cut the cord, right? So what are you paying for now? You're paying for Hulu. What is that, $9.95? You're paying for Netflix. What is that, $14.95 or $13.95 or $12, something like that. So that's 21 or 22. You're paying for Amazon Prime. So, of course, that's get you free shipping and a bunch of other stuff. So, I'm just going to, because I use Amazon a lot, I'm going to say that I get most of my value from free shipping, but still it's a couple bucks a month. These things click up. YouTube TV, $40. Next thing you know, you're paying these folks more money than you did when you had regular TV service. So, they all can't be winners. Here's another one that just makes me go, Facebook, they know who you are, who you like to hang out. They know your political affiliation. They know your sexual affiliation. They know everything about you. Everything. They know where you go because they do location services on the app. You knew that, right? And they push ads at you. It's all kinds of stuff. Well, Facebook has a new preventative health tool that pushes people to advocate for their health. Starting today, Facebook, imagine this, is going to allow you to choose to get personalized reminders about healthcare tests and vaccines. The company's new preventative health tool focuses on getting people information about cancer screenings, heart checkups, flu vaccines, all measures that could hopefully help people catch deadly conditions long before they become lethal. The tool is called Preventive of Health in Stealing Your Health Information to Sell to Third-Party Providers. No, It's called preventative health. It takes a user's age, sex from their profile, and provides them with a list of recommendation screenings based on those two data points. But I guess you're also going to provide information. Let's say you're 52 years old. Freddie Abnasi, Facebook's head of health of care research, one of the things will come to you based on American Cancer Society recommendations that you should have a colonoscopy screening. Of course. How many of you that are listening to the show don't know that when you're 50, you have to drink a gallon of muck and go to the doctor, get knocked out for about 20 minutes while they probe you and take pictures of your intestines? How many of you knew that? I think we all knew that, right? Do we have to be reminded? If you have any brains at all, you're going to know this is a critical thing to do when you're 50 years old. Because if you have something inside your intestines or your colon has an issue, you're going to die, okay? Or be very sick. This is a preventive measure, right? Hi, Tommy. Hi, Andrew. Hi, Jennifer. Are you really going to let Facebook have any of your healthcare information? He says, we never see any of your healthcare stuff. This is simply taking information, make it understandable, and delivering it to our users and the people across Facebook. In the tool, people can schedule a reminder for their screening and mark when it's complete. If they don't have a primary care physician, they can also look up locations for more affordable, friendly qualified health centers where they can talk to a provider about these screenings. If you use Prevent Health on Facebook, you can share the tool itself with your network, but not information within it. For example, Facebook says you won't be in danger of posting reminders of your mammogram from the tool to your timeline. Oh, that's nice. Facebook is going to put us, can you imagine that going, ladies? Can you imagine that going on your timeline? Julie is going for her mammogram today. This is HIPAA stuff. I'm sorry. Again, two middle fingers to Facebook. I'm not going to use this. This is why I have a primary healthcare provider. I know some of you don't have healthcare. I understand this. Do you think I'm crazy and bashing Facebook this way? They continue to collect and collect and collect in the means of we're going to help you remind. We're going to give you reminders. I need reminders of when my birthday is and when my siblings. That's what I need reminders of. All right, I'll stop. I'm in a funny mood tonight. Can you tell? Uber is going to pay drivers and couriers after every trip because guess what they're launching? Uber Money. It's a division offers several financial services. Yes. It's making a bigger push into payments and financial services by setting up a division called Uber Money. Among the initiatives, Uber is in stores paying its more than 4 million drivers and couriers after each ride. It plans to do so through its no-fee mobile bank account, which it's integrating into the Uber Drive app. I'm sure there's going to be an Uber credit card or Uber debit card that's going to come along. Yep, the company is refreshing its Visa debit card to offer as much as 6% cash back on gas purchases. Drivers can use it to withdraw from their account at GoBank ATMs with no fees. Uber is also reviving its no annual fee credit card. Cardholders can earn up to 5% in Uber Cash when they spend money on Uber services and up to 3% on other purchases because people use credit cards and do not pay them off. Additionally, Uber is providing drivers and couriers with a digital wallet. Uber Wallet will give them a glance to look at spending history and a way to manage their money and make payments. It appears in the Uber Driver app in the next several weeks. Will be available through the Uber Eats and Uber apps too. Uber plans to integrate Apple Pay and Google Pay with its wallet. You're not going to need a bank. And in some instances, I understand overseas, In the United States, most everyone has a bank account. Some people don't. I understand that, but most people do. But now you're going to be able to use the Uber Bank. And does anyone, you know, they're not doing, they know they're going to make money because someone's going to use that Uber credit card and not pay off, and they're going to make money on the interest. They fully know that. What is everyone's general opinion of all these money offers and tie-ins to these services where these companies are becoming the bank? Is that something I need to do? Let me think about that for a second. Can Blueberry Podcasting set up a bank? That'd be kind of cool to offer a credit card. You automatically get your bill billed to that credit card. We'll give you some percentage back. And that seems to me like a heck of a good idea, because then I know that you're going to use the Blueberry credit card to buy, what should you buy? That new recording studio, groceries, bottled water. And when you're a little short to pay off your bill, you're going to accrue interest on that, and I'm going to get some points on that. Yeah, I think this is a really smart idea. Someone wants to help me set up a Blueberry Bank, Blueberry Money. I think that's what we should do. I really, really do. Might as well, if you can't beat them, join them, right? Waymo, and I probably pronounced that wrong, test riders only service and looks beyond robo-taxis. Waymo chief executive John Karathik said the self-driving vehicle company is now offering limited rider-only trips in Phoenix, Arizona, and is looking beyond the robo-taxi business to generate future revenue, including delivery services. Waymo, as you remember, is a unit of Alphabet, has begun offering full automated rides without attendants in the vehicle to a few hundred early users of its robo-taxi service. Where can you go? Waymo hasn't disclosed how many fully automated rides it's given, but it indicates it's a small number. The company's testing its so-called automated drivers on Peterbilt trucks and plans to expand trucking and commercial delivery applications of its technology as part of its project known as Husky. And I'm going to tell you, if you are in the long-haul trucking business, when I get in my 2019 Ford Edge, and I get on the highway, and I click cruise, and I've got adaptive lane centering turned on, I hold my hand on the steering wheel, and with a few instances, and I'm known where it doesn't like certain places in the road and the little things that kind of throw it off, that car almost will drive itself the 3 hours and 15 minutes from Columbus to Michigan. Get on the toll road, no sweat. It even will slow down in construction areas because the cars in front of me have slowed down and it'll pace. And give this 10 years. You look what Tesla's already doing. Give this 10 years and we might be at a point where I can just sit back with my hands off the wheel and watch the road. And maybe in 15 years, I can sleep. Potentially. Waymo's announced agreements to develop self-driving vehicles and services with Renault, its Japanese partner Nissan Motor Corp, and its deals use minivans made by Fiat Chrysler Automobiles Nevada and Jaguar I-Pace sports utility vehicles in its robo-taxi fleets. Waymo's carefully rollout of self-driving vehicle services come as many automakers and rival self-driving vehicle companies are scaling back or consolidating their effort. The high cost and technical challenge of developing a safe, reliable automated driving system coupled with uncertainty about regulations have put a chill on the automated. It's going to happen. All of us. I want to get in my car. I really, really do. I dream of the day when it's safe to me get in my vehicle, to get me in my vehicle and go to sleep. Take a nap on a 3-hour ride. So, awesome. Hey, Andrew says in chat, the best example, this is related to the healthcare stuff. The best example of this is Google or Facebook knowing you have Parkinson's disease before you do by detecting micro tremors through your mouse. Are you serious? They can do that, Andrew? They know that? They already know that? Is that true? Please, please, please send me the link to that. The FCC, oh, here we go. FCC proposes rules requiring telcos to remove Huawei's ZTE equipment. The FCC said it will move ahead with a proposal to ban telecommunications giants from using Huawei's and ZTE networking equipment, which the agency says poses a national security threat. I agree. The two-part proposal revealed money would first bar telecom giants from using funds it received from the FCC Universal Service Fund, used by the agency to subsidize service to low-income households from buying equipment from the Chinese telecom equipment maker. The second proposal would mandate certain telecom giants remove any banned equipment they may have already installed. You know, why do some of you don't believe that this is a national security threat? There are some of you that listen to the show that do not believe this in a bit. I know that it's partly political, but I think the underlying things going on there is definitely, in my opinion, my small knowledge of the world, I just don't trust them. I really, really don't. And I'd rather be safe than sorry. Because if they get pissed off, turn the lights off, or turn the telecommunications off, you know, what do you do then? You don't. You're done. So, I don't know. Again, what is your thoughts? Geeknews@gmail.com. Spotify. Spotify announces fiscal financial results for third quarter 2019. And get this, I counted in their press release the word podcast used 13 times. For a streaming music company, that's pretty impressive. So 13 times they used the word podcast. Now, how many times did they use the word music? They used the word music 9 times. So isn't that an amazing situation? So the business met or exceeded expectations for third quarter 19 with accelerated MAU growth and better than expected subscriber growth, gross margins, and operating profit for the 8th consecutive quarter. Free cash flow was positive. We continue seeing exponential growth in podcast hours streamed, up approximately 39% quarter over quarter, and in early indication that podcast engagement is driving a virtuous cycle of increased overall engagement, specifically increased conversion of free to paid users because they're playing ads against our content. Let me see some more stuff that they said about podcasting. Let me go down a little further. Podcasting revenue outperformed expectations with strong year-to-year growth, but still a relative small slice of the total ad-supported business, at less than 10% of total ad revenue. Ding, 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 ding. What's next? Oh, they have a whole section on podcasts. So they say, for music listeners who do engage in podcasts, we're seeing increased engagement and increased conversions from ad-supported to premium. Some of the increases are extraordinarily almost too good to be true. We're working to clean up the data to prove causality, not just correlation. We still are inflation. Our intuition is this data is more right than wrong, and that we're onto something special. Expect us to lean into our early success with podcasts and share more insights. We continue to ship updates to our podcast experience and now have more than 500,000 podcast titles available on the platform. There's only active about 200,000. On the quarter three, it saw the launch of 22 original and several other exclusive titles from Spotify Studios. We also announced the release of a number of Gimlet and Paracast originals. And we're continuously working to expand our global podcast library with the index of El Premier Cafe in Colombia and London Actual in the UK. So podcasts are doing very well on Spotify. Just remind you, the goal is for you to subscribe to this show at geeknewscentral.com, either on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, or the listening device of your choice. I want you to subscribe to the podcast. It's very, very simple. Your smartphones can handle it. Go to geeknewscentral.com and click on the subscribe button. Alphabet announces third quarter 2019 results. 3 months ended September 30, 2019, $40,499,000,000 as compared to $33,740,000,000 the previous. Yes, are this in millions? Oh, wait a second. Oh, it's in billions. Okay, $40,499,000,000, which is $40 billion, I believe. And let's see here. What else? Did they make money? Oh, the number of employees they had in the end of 2018 was 94,372 and 114,096 at the end of 2019. Here's the thing, folks. Google is hiring everywhere. I go to San Antonio. Google's in San Antonio. I go to every city in America and Google is hiring up people. What this means, this is good news for people that are computer science majors in almost every major city in America. You, if you have half a brain, can get hired by Google, Facebook, or any of these other big companies in the city you are today. You don't have to go west. You may make a little less money, but you can stay at home, build your house, grow a family if we're working for these companies. Crazy. So their revenue was up 20% over 2018. Again, $40.5 billion for the quarter. And the whole details I'm not going to go into. You can read the earnings result. Virgin Galactic went public on the New York Stock Exchange after completing its merger. So for the first time ever, a space company has made history by becoming the world's first and only publicly traded commercial human spaceflight company. George Whiteside, CEO of Virgin Galactic Holdings, said in a statement today, "For the first time, anyone will have the opportunity to invest in a human spaceflight company that is transforming the market." What did they open at? Let's see here. Did they say? It doesn't say what they opened at. But 600 people have made reservations in 60 different countries. I think they had to pay $1.5 million each to do that. Yeah, it doesn't say how much the stock was at. Someone will have to look it up for me. It's under the ticker SPCE. Oh, they've got three tickers. How's that? SPCE.U. and SPE.WS. If someone's in the chat room, look up what SPCE on the New York Stock Exchange was priced at. T-Mobile's added a new discounted Magneto plan for first responders and their families. T-Mobile is following up on its military plan with a new discount for first responders. Joining rivals AT&T and first responders. How's that tie into military? Oh, it's following up on its military. So they announced something to do with a military plan that I missed. But anyway, they, as part of the new offering, the company's Magneto plan would be $100 with taxes and fees included, a saving of $60 from the company's regular plan for four phones. The pricing is similar to T-Mobile's offering for active duty and veterans. Oh, that was introduced last year. As with the military plan, those who want T-Mobile Step Up Magneto Plus plans will get four lines for $140, a savings of $30 per month. So good for them. Next up, best place to buy or sell a used phone. How many used phones you got stacked in a drawer? You can sell these, you know. There's a whole bunch of places to sell them. And I'm going to link this up in the show notes so that you can go see where to sell them. Gazelle, Craigslist, eBay, Swapo, just a few. Personally, I like Gazelle a lot. They're very reputable in the space. Oh, also, I'm not even going to read this article because I already bashed on AT&T, but AT&T has laid out a strategic plan amid challenges from activist investor. And the chairman and CEO is going to stand for another year. And I'm not going to read in this, but they're talking about their bump in wireless subscribers. And I'm using AT&T in my car. My car has I didn't have any choice. I had to use them for my car internet if I wanted to have internet in my car. Apple TV Plus launches for all mankind in a meandering space race. This is a review for this new series on Apple TV that will come on November 1st. In the first episode of For All Mankind, a fictionalized space race drama, Something in the Room is Amiss. Instead of nervously chatting into headsets and pushing money as their own colleagues prepare to venture onto the moon, NASA staffers are watching the Russians land the first man on the lunar surface. All right. So alternative reality show. Why do people want to rewrite history? But I guess we'll have to see if this is going to be entertaining at all. Are they going to show the fall of America in this show as well? The Air Force secretive spy space plane is back on Earth after a record 2-year stay in space. Some folks said that the U.S. Air Force X-37 flight deployed small satellites and that they were 780 days in orbit, and they last landed at NASA's Kennedy Shuttle Landing Facility at 3:51 a.m. So good job on the Air Force. They have two of these. They have another launch, supposedly, plan for early 2020. All right, you have an iPhone 5? I know some of you do. I know some of you have. Oh, so New York Virgin Galactic Space U stock, $13.01. You know, that's interesting, Rick, on Virgin Galactic Space, a stock price at $13.01. That's one of those stocks that $13.01. Huh. You know, I might just take $1,000 and buy SPCE.U. I might take that gamble. Because there's going to be one of two things that are going to happen. One or two things, they're going to spectacularly fail and kill people, and the stock will go to, you know, go to zero. Or they're going to be successful and putting this project together and delivering people to space and bringing them back, which will fuel more innovation and more investment in the company. I think that this is a good gamble. And Rick says this is a better gamble than buying GameStop. I think so. At $13.01, and I don't know Jack, okay, but about investment per se. And the only investment advice I've gotten has been from third parties, and it's usually turned out well. So don't take my advice on this, okay? I'm really telling you, you know, make a personal decision. But I'm thinking I'm going to roll the dice on this one. $13.01. See, that's the kind of stock price that I can buy, and I can buy enough of it that if it goes to 40 or 50, it'll make good money. But if it goes to zero, I've only lost $1,000. So, who's in? Who's in? We'll decide. Okay, the next show, I want to hear from all of you, geeknews@gmail.com. Who is in on buying some Virgin Galactic space stock? How many of you are in? And if you don't want to tell me how much, it's okay. Or if you tell me how much and you, or if you say no way, no way, Jose. But, you know, we've all missed the boat on a bunch of stuff, right? The majority of us missed out on Apple when it was at the bottom. Most of us can't buy some stock because it's priced too heavy. But at $13.01, I think that's probably better odds that it's going to make some money than taking $1,000 and putting it on the crap table and rolling for an hour. You know, I really think, or 15 minutes, depending on how many times you hit seven. I think this is a good gamble. And it really is, you know, some of these stocks. So who's in? Who's with me? Who's going to buy Virgin Galactic SPCE.U on the New York Stock Exchange for today at $13.01. Rick, I think it is. I think it's a better gamble than buying GameStop. GameStop. Is it still in business? I don't even know. All right, let's talk about iPhone 5. iPhone 5 users risk losing internet access. Okay, iPhone 5 is the last phone that can be jailbroke. And a lot of people that have real issues with tracking of smartphones can pare these phones down pretty low and put software on there that basically makes them nearly impossible to track. And I know Adam Curry over at the Daily Source Code, over at No Agenda has an iPhone 5. He's got it pared down with minimal stuff and is very pleased with his non-traceability. He's very much into not allowing his actions in life to be tracked and marketed against. So Apple iPhone users have been warned to update their software before the weekend or face losing access to the internet. The tech giant said those who do not download iOS 13.4 by 3 November would be locked out of features that rely on the correct time and date. This includes App Store, email, web browsing, and storage services iCloud. While it's not the latest version of the operating system, it is the most up-to-date available for the model. Users of older iPhones have also been advised to update their software in order to maintain accurate GPS location services. iPhone 5 users have received pop-up messages in recent days urging them to update. A Twitter user goes by the handle 24XERO. He says, I'm being forced to update my old iOS device. I received this on my old iPhone 5. I haven't seen it yet on my iPad 4. The issue with this is that those devices are jailbroken. Don't know if I can ignore it. Huh. So Apple said anyone with an iPhone 4S and some older versions of iPad should download the latest software and ensure the GPS services keep working. This includes owners of the first generation iPad mini and fourth generation iPad and older. So again, the iPhone 5 continues to be a phone for those that really want to stay undercover, to remain undercover. So what say you? Do you have an iPhone 5? Are you going to update it, or are you going to see exactly what happens? Carriers announced a coalition to deploy RCS messaging in 2020. Well, what is RCS messaging? Well, you can manage a whole bunch of stuff. And you can send, well, what you are able to do is send rich media, videos, a whole bunch of stuff here. Carriers only support RCS in piecemeal fashion. Select devices got support, but only with select messaging apps. So the move away will be a response to Google, which took aim at carriers earlier this year when it announced that RCS support in the UK and France, rather than wait for carriers there to get things figured out. Google is deploying RCS service for Android users in those countries that will plug into the messaging app. At the time, it looked like Google was firing a warning shot. The big U.S. carriers don't want to be caught out of the next generation messaging, so they're finally moving towards RCS. But RCS is a complete mess. It's probably not going fixed in the next year. So I guess a whole bunch of new messaging tools. We got about everything we need on different apps already. I can't see how this will be better. NASA's InSight probe is still struggling to crack the surface of Mars. Well, they're having a hard time drilling. It's been a few rough weeks. The drill stopped. They had to pull it out of the hole. They moved it away. They put it in a new location. It went down. Now it's coming out of the ground. So they drilled about halfway in. Then it pushed itself back out. So yeah, they've got some issues. Drilling and hitting different soil or rocks is apparently proving to be a issue. And NASA said this is likely due to soil conditions, you think? So imagine trying to dig or drill on Mars. You know, you really don't know what's down underneath the drill bit, right? Here you have a shovel, right? You can dig around. You can pry those rocks out of the way. So anyway, we'll see what NASA does. Also, the NVIDIA's Enshield TV has won the Android TV market with amazing 4K upscaling. This was announced, getting rave reviews. So anyway, positive stuff. All right, well, we are down to being out of time here. We're not out of time, but being out of content. And we've done real good on time tonight. Fantastic. I'm excited. We made it to about a little over an hour. I'm jazzed. So let us talk about what you need to do. You need to go to geeknewscentral.com. You need to subscribe to the podcast. You need to send us a note at geeknews@gmail.com. We've talked about numerous topics today that would entice you. Are you going to allow Amazon Alexa to pay your bills? Are you going to allow Facebook to do some healthcare reminders? And there's a whole bunch of things here we've talked about today that should give you pause. Are you going to buy stock? Yes. Are you going to buy stock with Virgin Galactic at $13.01 on the New York Stock Exchange? I think it's a worthy gamble. So I'll see where you say, and I'll make a decision upon your commentary on the next show. And I might not be able to buy it all at once. I might have to increment out. And I promise donations to the show will not be used to buy Virgin Galactic stock. We have other bills to pay with any donations by you becoming an insider. At geeknewscentral.com/insider, you can start supporting the show as low as 6.7 cents a day. Come on now. $2. That's $2 a month. Throw the old geek here, $2 a month. If every one of you did that, it would be life-changing for this show. And those of you that throw $25 a month, that's a galactic change. Enough of you threw $25 a month at this show. We could probably arrange for one of those Virgin Galactic space flights, but I don't think we'll ever get to that number. But that would be pretty historic if we did. What podcast history we could make together, ladies and gentlemen. And heck, if everyone put through in 50, if everyone is a listener of the show threw in 50 a month, two of us could go to Virgin Galactic and put some money down. So take a friend with me. All right. Anyway, become an insider. Consider a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 monthly donation or a one-time donation on the webpage. It's available there on geeknewscentral.com/insider. Again, thank you for ongoing support of the GoDaddy sponsor. That is obviously first and foremost in my mind, but for everyone that does continue to contribute to the show, thank you very much. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. We are now on the march to 1,516 years in podcasting. So everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Let's see you next time. Bye-bye.